when Bob's sitting there and thinking about what he wants to do next, he's, you know, somebody who's maybe 52 and I happen to be 54, you have a lot of life left in you, and none of us are ready to just sit around and do nothing. When you get to that age, it's about controlling your own destiny and figuring out where do you want to go next and what do you want to do. And what I love about franchising is that Bob, who's commuting a couple hours and sitting at his desk, he's working for somebody else. He's not working for himself. And I often will ask people, what's the difference between being rich and being wealthy? Rich is when you're working hard for the money, but if you stop working, the money stops. Wealth is when your money works for itself.
Welcome to Reinvention After 50, a Brand 50 podcast where we interview a large spectrum of entrepreneurs that have started their businesses later in life. Learn, be inspired, and get motivated by their stories so that you can take your life's experiences and turn them into your next venture. And here are your hosts, Jack Uhaldy and Robert Erie Archbold.
We started Brand 50 because we wanted a platform that can inspire and teach and educate and help people come up with ideas for businesses later on in life. And this week we have Mary Kennedy Thompson, who after serving 8 years in the Marine Corps, didn't know exactly what to do, but got into franchising, and this is something that we've talked about. So she has a really great story on how she started a couple franchises and what she's doing now. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Jack?
Yeah, so no, Mary was a really, really solid interview, and you're right. You know, when we started this thing, you know, it was a platform to try and help people, give people tips, advice on different businesses that they can get involved with. And for me personally, it's like, I just really love, I've always enjoyed talking and meeting new people and learning about their lives and sort of what they're doing from a professional perspective. And Mary has an interesting story. She spent 8 years in the Marine Corps, got married, started a family, didn't know what to do. And so she got into franchising. She's in her 50s now, but back then she wanted to work for herself, do her own thing. And so she bought into a franchise called Cookies by Design. And she had multiple locations and did really, really well. She got these things up and running and then decided to sell them. And then she kind of missed working. And so eventually she became president of Mr. Reuter Plumbing Company, which was part of the Dwyer Group. The Dwyer Group is a fairly significant franchise organization. They have multiple brands, franchises that they own and that they sell and they manage. Mr. Reuter Plumbing is one of them, Molly Maid, Rainbow Restoration, Mr. Handyman is one. So they own all of these franchises and then they sell franchises as well. Since then, they've now morphed into Neighborly, which now is the new name. Again, for those people that are in their 50s, 60s, even younger, you can be your 20s and 30s and kind of just, you know, you want to do your own thing. Neighborly is a great organization and they have the ability to help tailor the right type of franchise for you. So they're not really a broker in that they actually own these franchises. And Mary is the COO. She's the chief operating officer now of Neighborly. Again, a great resource and definitely a type A personality. She is very, very productive and a total go-getter. And I don't think I may have asked her if she plans on retiring, and the answer is no time soon.
You're not kidding when you say she's a type A personality and a go-getter, because I believe this interview was done in two or three settings. She was at the gym when you first started off, then in her car, then outside. Why don't you tell us how that happened?
Yeah, so it's pretty funny. So she is a Saturday morning. You know, most of our interviews are done on weekends, and this is a Saturday morning, and she'd already been at the gym, and she's like walking out of the gym when we started the. I called her on Skype, and she had the app on her phone, and you know she's rolling outside, and we started doing the interview, and then she sounded great, so I kind of went with it. The next thing I know, I could hear the beep beep of the car. She got the alarm going off. She gets in the car. You know, you can hear the car starting. She's driving. She's doing her thing, and in the meanwhile, she's just given me a fantastic interview. So it's like, I didn't want to stop it. You know, some funny background noise going on, but it really is indicative of her personality. She's a type A, admits it, but she's a go-getter. And I think there's a lot to be learned from people like that.
Joining me today on the Brand 50 podcast is 50-plus-year Mary Thompson. Mary, a retired United States Marine Corps officer, is anything but retired these days. She's currently the Chief Operating Officer for the Dwyer Group, which is a holding company for 11 service-based franchise operations. Combined, these brands provide a diverse array of specialty services with more than 2,700 franchises in 11 countries. Prior to joining the Dwyer Group, Mary owned three Cookies by Design franchise locations, which she ran from 1994 to 2006. She then switched gears and industries and went on to become president of Mr. Rooter Plumbing Corporation. After almost 9 years of running Mr. Rooter Plumbing, Mary was recruited by the Dwyer Group to become VP of International Relations, which then led her to her current role as Chief Operating Officer for the Dwyer Group. Mary, I know I missed a few gaps there, but please, you know, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you're up to these days.
Thanks, Jack. I always tell everybody my most favorite title is Grandma. I've got a five-year-old grandson who's about the most perfect human being that ever existed, and that's really the title I'm most proud of. I've always believed that leaders are here to serve and inspire others, and so loved what Margaret Thatcher said, being a leader is like being a lady. If you have to tell someone you're one, you're not. And so my titles are very incidental to who I am and what I am. I loved leading the Mr. Rooter team. We are one of the fastest growing plumbing companies, the largest brand in Dwyer Group. And the company that I'm chief operating officer of, which is our parent company, Dwyer Group, we really are a values-driven organization. And we really primarily focus on what we call the repair, maintain, and enhance space. So we help people maintain, repair, and enhance their homes and small businesses. Probably anybody listening has had one of our brands out to their home, whether it's Mr. Rooter or Molly Maid or Window Genie to clean their windows or AirServe to fix their heating or air conditioning or Glass Doctor to fix their windshield of their car or any flat glass in their home, for example. And I could go on. We have more than 11 different brands in North America and 19 brands worldwide in our company.
What I found interesting is you went, maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, how you went from Cookies by Design to plumbing. I know you went on the pre-call, you joked about how you had to get up to speed. Tell us a little bit about that transition and how that all happened.
Certainly. Well, when I was a franchisee in Cookies by Design, I obviously, having three bakeries, learned how to bake a pretty good and mean cookie. And being a licensed plumber, when I became president of Mr. Rooter, I decided I would get my plumbing license because I really wanted to show all of our franchisees that I was technically and tactically sound. And so I can make you the best cookie you ever ate and fix your toilet as well, but I try not to do the two at the same time. And I've always believed that you shouldn't follow the path that everyone else does. You should find what your path is and create new paths. And my path has always been following my heart and serving others. And I didn't come into Cookies by Design because I loved cookies. I came into it because I wanted to control my destiny. And this was a way to, franchising was a way to do that. I came from a military background family. I'm an Army brat. And when people ask me where I'm from, I always say I'm a child of the world. And grew up everywhere and wanted to have the time to follow things that interested me. And I think if you follow your passions, you can take yourself to a whole different place. And I loved controlling my destiny. I love the fact that I could decide, you know, in franchising, we say you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. So I had this system that I could follow that told me how to make the cookies and the best ways to market. I didn't have to reinvent the wheel, but I decided who I was going to hire, how I was going to train them, when I was going to train them, and kind of how I was going to go to market. Love that.
That's a good, you know, a good analogy, a good comparison as to sort of, you know, how you got into that. But going back, and this podcast really is about inspiring 50-plusers to become the best versions of themselves. And our goal here with the content we're developing is to maybe be a resource and provide some guidance and some helpful stories from people like you that are 50-plus, that are still incredibly active and pursuing their dreams. And we'll get a little bit more into your career and also, you know, why franchising might be a good way, a good outlet for people that are looking to sort of, like you just said, create their own destiny. But before we get there, one of the things that I found real interesting about your story was you were in the Marine Corps, I believe, I don't have the exact dates here, but like late 80s into the early 90s. You're a woman, you're a Marine Corps officer. That was at the first Gulf War. You were kind of in the thick of that. Tell us what that experience was like.
Well, I joined the Marine Corps in 85, so mid-80s through the early 90s, and I never considered doing anything else. My dad was in the Army, and I just knew I was going to go. I have a heart for service, and I think most people who go in the military, because they have a sense of duty and they want to serve their country. It's been my honor that I got a chance to serve my country. And I was very lucky because I came in a time where, you know, there were women who came ahead of me and kind of broke new ground that women could even be in the military and do things. And so by the time that my group came in, we didn't know what we couldn't do. And so, you know, I got to go to jump school. I got to jump out of airplanes. I was a platoon commander. I got to lead a platoon of 54 Marines under my command and got to do things that I never considered I couldn't do. And it was a unique and interesting time because the Marine Corps was just starting to figure out that we could do those things. So we were the first group of women at the basic school to be issued swords. And I'm still very proud of the fact that I have a Marine Corps officer sword because it's a mark of who you are and what you've done. I've always found that all the military, and for me in particular, the Marine Corps, is an incubator for leadership. And I've taken the leadership principles that I learned there in my very formative and early years, and I've used them in everything I've done in business. In fact, I teach, the Marine Corps has got 11 Marine Corps principles, and I teach those to business leaders all across the United States and even throughout the world. And people say, well, those are brilliant. And I have to remind them, I didn't make these up. The Marine Corps have been teaching these for years and years.
Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward. So obviously that experience in the Marine Corps helped you become the chief operating officer. I believe it's all building blocks. I know when we had our pre-call, you talked about when you were at Cookies by Design. After 2006, you thought you were done. You were going to retire. But you didn't retire. You're still continuing on. And now you're a lead executive for a big company. What advice would you give somebody if somebody is looking at making a change? They're kind of stuck, and I always refer to this person as Bob or Steve, but let's just say, you know, works in a cubicle, works for a company, a corporation, you know, he's commutes 2-3 hours a day to work, but doesn't really like what he's doing, is really looking for an outlet. He needs to work, wants to continue working. What advice would you give Bob to maybe things that he could do to kind of take him to that next step?
I always start this with, I'm extremely biased. I really truly believe that franchising is the great American dream. It was for me and it is for a lot of people. And 1 out of every 8 jobs in the United States is created through franchising. I share that because when Bob's sitting there and thinking about what he wants to do next, he's, you know, somebody who's maybe 52 and I happen to be 54. You have a lot of life left in you and none of us are ready to just sit around and do nothing. When you get to that age, it's about controlling your own destiny and figuring out where do you want to go next and what do you want to do? And what I love about franchising is that Bob, who's commuting a couple hours and sitting at his desk, he's working for somebody else. He's not working for himself. And I often will ask people, what's the difference between being rich and being wealthy? Rich is when you're working hard for the money, but if you stop working, the money stops. Wealth is when your money works for itself. When you consider taking a great leap and taking a leap into something that you get to do and you're building wealth for you and your family. And what I love about franchising is while it is a big leap, it's a big leap with a support network. So you're not having to figure out, how do I go to market with this? How do I brand this? How should I train my people? When should I do that? Because that has already been put together. You've got this collective intelligence of this entire system that helps make this brand and this system strong, but you get to execute it at the local level. And so it's the best of both worlds in that you are deciding how and when you're going to do it. You are picking the location and where you're going. So for instance, if Bob says, I'm so tired of getting on that train and sitting on the train for an hour, he will do best to build that franchise within his community where he lives, because people do business and like to do business with people they know and like. And so now he can be tighter with that.
Right. Are there examples? Do you have examples of some people that you've worked with in the past that that are maybe worked at the corporate arena for much of their career and then segued into franchising?
I do. We have a franchisee out in Houston. His name is Roger Gertz. He's a really amazing man. He actually worked at our headquarters, and he had been a senior executive his entire life. He did not become a franchisee until his late 50s. And he's now been a franchisee with us. He's in his early 70s now. And I still remember sitting with him and he said, you know, it was a scary step. I had never done this. I had been, you know, he had been presidents and chief operating officers and executive vice presidents of organizations. He said, but this is the first time that I really feel like I got to control what I do. And he now runs a very successful multi-unit franchise location. He lives in a beautiful home that company built for him, and he owns the building in which his company exists. And he would tell you that it was the franchising and his hard work. I mean, he certainly put some hard work into it that built that. And we have stories like that. And then not just within our company, but in franchising, we have stories like that every day. I like the 50 age group for franchising because they're old enough to have experience and understand what discipline and leadership looks like, but they're also young enough to have the energy to do the next thing.
What makes for a successful franchise owner? What are, like, because let's face it, like, running your own business isn't for everybody, so there's got to be a little something there. What is that something?
Well, I'd say this, not only is running your own business not for everybody, franchising is not for everybody. The person who, and I've always thought that's why veterans make very good franchisees, it's somebody who enjoys systems, that understands and wants to work within a system, but it's also somebody that's got the discipline to, you know, get up in the morning and do these 10 things, that doesn't need somebody to tell them you need to do these 10 things. It's also somebody who wants to lead a team and wants to have the control over who they're working with and who they're bringing into the team.
In terms of financing, that's the one I've talked to some people about starting your own business or franchising. What does that look like? Let's say, let's go back to Bob. But let's say, you know, Bob has most of his money in 401k at work. How does someone like that go about financing a franchise if they're able to find one that works for them?
Well, there's a couple different options, and we should talk about how should they find which franchise is best for them. But first, let's talk about the financing. So there are a lot of options on financing, especially today. There are some options where you can leverage your 401k to get a loan for that business. And then there are franchisors who are also loan, like, for instance, and we're not alone in this, about 45 to 50% of the franchisors out there, they will loan the franchisee the money to buy the franchise territory. What we do is ask for a 30% down and then we loan the rest. Of course, you have to have a good credit score and you have to, you know, there's certain things that you need to have in place. But somebody who's, and I find that that person who's in their 50s has been working for maybe 30 years, they have enough of a nest egg that they can leverage that nest egg to get an SBA loan, to get another type of loan, or to also get a loan from the franchisor. Most franchisors won't loan on equipment or build out, but they will loan on the franchise territory.
And then you were talking about sort of how to identify the right franchise for somebody. How do you guys go about doing that?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. And what I always say is be careful not to fall in love with a product or a service and not spend time getting to know the company that you're really joining, because the culture and the company is more important than the product and the service. So when I was in Cookies by Design, I would find people that would fall in love and say, these are the best tasting cookies. I want to do this. I'm a creative person. I like doing this. And then find out you're not going to spend your time decorating cookies. You're going to spend your time marketing and finding people. And it's a business. There's a book that talks about that. Oh, The E-Myth by Gerber. That, you know, you don't want to be a technician. You don't want to work in your business. You want to work on your business. So finding the right franchisor, some people use brokers because that will help them find and seek the right franchisor. The International Franchise Association every year does 2 or 3 franchise expos where you can go in and there might be 300 franchisors in the room and you can go from booth to booth and talk to them and meet them. And I always recommend when you're looking at a franchisor, get to know the people. What are their core values? How is it that they choose to do business? Because that match is the most important.
Sure. And then when you say look at the 4 people, are you saying 4 existing franchise owners?
So when I was talking about the expos, that might be 400 different franchisors. So there might be companies like ours, which are service-based or food-based companies. So you can start seeing what you're interested in. When I'm talking about trying to find the right franchisor, let's say you've narrowed it down to 2, once you're talking to that franchisor, they're going to give you a franchise disclosure document. They call it an FDD. It's required by the Federal Trade Commission, and it has everything about the franchisor. In there is an item 20. Item 20 is the list of all franchisees existing and no longer in the system. And I always recommend that they talk to 10 people in the system and 10 people who have left the system, because you need to know what success and failure looks like, and you need to come in with your eyes wide open.
That's great advice. Yeah, that is really, really good advice. Okay. Another question I have for you. It's funny, you and I were going to do this podcast this morning, and you were at the gym working out. On Thursday, you were on an airplane. You're obviously, you are go, 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 go. what do you do for, say, stress management? What are you doing on a daily basis to help you juggle everything you got going on? Because I know running this, being a chief operating officer, is a lot of work. What are the keys to your success on a personal basis?
Well, it's a great question. Usually the question people ask is, how do you find balance? And I always say, I don't. Some days I'm very good at doing this, and some days I'm very good at doing that, and other days I'm very good at doing this other thing. The biggest mistake I've made in business over the years is when I let my health fail or when I don't pay attention to myself, my physical self. I always like to say on leadership, when I see a leader that's struggling, you have two hands. One hand is to help yourself climb up that mountain. The other hand is to reach down to somebody else and help them climb the mountain. And when I see a leader struggling, either they're using both hands for themselves and they're too self-centered, or they're using both hands for somebody else and they're not giving themselves the time to grow and stretch, because they're only going to grow their company or their situation as fast as they can grow themselves. So find time for growth. And in that growth is healthy habits. And yes, I do spend a lot of time on a plane. But for instance, I was stuck in the Dallas airport this week, and I was able to walk 4 miles in the time that I was on layover. I have my phone that has my pedometer, and I make sure I've got comfortable shoes with me. And did I get up and go run? No, but did I make sure I got 4 miles in that airport? I sure did. And I could have sat and eaten a hamburger, or I could grab an apple and walk the airport. And I chose to grab an apple and walk the airport. And so take that one hand for yourself, whether it's meditating or exercise or eating healthy. And I find when I get in those bad habits, I'm less of a leader and I don't get as much done. They talk about this financially, you know, pay yourself first, make sure you set money aside for yourself first. I think you should take that to your health as well. Pay yourself first. Make sure that I plan out each day for my meals to try to make sure I think about it the night before. What am I going to eat that day and at what time? And sometimes the plane is an hour late and I'm stuck on the tarmac, but I try to have those things in place so that I can be healthy, because I'm not going to be able to serve others as well if I can't take care of myself. And the Marine Corps taught me that. You know, you let your people eat first. You make sure all your people eat before you eat. But you got to make sure you eat as well, because if you don't, sooner or later, you're going to literally fall by the wayside and you won't be any good.
You know, it's funny. We've done about 30 of these podcast interviews now with successful 50-plusers like yourself. And the wellness, the fitness, the health, the meditating, all of that is really front and center to success for everybody. I mean, everybody talked about how as part of their daily ritual, it involved eating well and exercise. And so you learn from others. And in this case, that's the number one thing, is make sure you're taking care of yourself.
And it's easy to say. I mean, literally yesterday morning, I had to get up at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time to catch my flight. And it was a long day. And it's so easy to justify not doing it. But the person who pays the price is me. And then all the people around me that I'm there to serve and inspire and do the right things for, they pay the secondary price. And so when I can look at it from that point of view, and I also think when we get past 50, it becomes a very easy excuse. You know, my husband, his doctors told him, you know, if you keep running, you're going to get a new knee. And so he had to stop running. And for about a year, he stopped running and it wasn't good for him. But then he found the bicycle. And cycling has been fabulous for him. And I have found as I've gotten older, I have to find new and different ways to stay healthy. What I could do at 20, I don't do at 50, nor should I. But it doesn't mean I should be doing nothing.
Yeah. I've also cut down on the running and the pounding. I do some running, but when I'm playing squash or, you know, some other racket sports, you know, it does take a pounding on your knees. But there's also that euphoria that you get from running, which is kind of nice.
Love the runner's high.
Yeah. Just a couple more questions for you. I know you're working for a large company. Do you see yourself? Because based off this conversation, I don't see you retiring. Do you see yourself retiring?
No, I don't. And will I do different things later on in my life? Absolutely, I will. I think we're all a work in progress. But I don't ever see myself sitting around and doing nothing. And I remember reading an article a couple of years ago that talked about, you know, successful people don't just have one gig going. They always have a couple of gigs going. I do keynote speeches. I sit on boards. I like to help small companies that are growing to the next place. That's kind of my hobby. And I do that because it keeps me thinking and growing and learning new things. And I don't think we should be a one-trick pony. I think we should all learn the different things that can take us to the next place. And I can't imagine a life where I'm sitting on a porch rocking. Now, do I want to rock every now and then? Yes. Do I want to sit on my porch at 8 a.m, have a cup of coffee? Yes, I'd love that. But I couldn't imagine doing that all day.
No, exactly. And I think that's what's made you successful. In closing, is there anything that I missed, anything you want to add for our audience that you think might be noteworthy?
You know, I would just say, I think 50 is a grand age. I am absolutely loving it. And I would encourage, there's a book called The Big Leap. And it's about how your life isn't like every day is a steady little progress, even though you should make steady little progress. What really happens is there are times in our life where we make great leaps. And maybe it's time to make a great leap, a big leap. Maybe it's time, because then what happens is you stretch everything else. You stretch your mind, you stretch your body, you stretch your thinking. And maybe today's the day to really think about that. And sometimes you have to leap before you have some growth.
Excellent. Now, this is all very, very good information, sound advice. You know, I'm going to put in our show notes, we'll put a link to the Dwyer Group website. You know, actually, just one final question. I really didn't focus too much on the Dwyer Group. Just really quickly, what can people look for? They go to your website. I know you have 11 service-based franchise organizations. Don't you have like 19 total franchises that you guys are selling there?
We have 19 different brands throughout all of the world as well. Some of them they're all in the same space, but they're different brands and different names. And we also have an overarching brand called Neighborly. If you go to getneighborly.com, for anybody who says, I need work on my home, everything that we do is all in one place, so you don't have to go searching in all the different places. But what's amazing about us, and again, I'm very biased here, is that we really do have a code of values. We call it living rich, with respect, integrity, customer focus, and my favorite one, having fun in the process. And when we're together and there's three or more of us in any capacity, we go through our values. We either recite them, there's 15 values, or we pull one out and talk about it, or we recite our value statement, which is we live our code of values by showing respect for all people, acting with integrity in all dealings, serving customers with enthusiasm, and having fun in the process. And about half our, I mean, we've got 700 employees, and probably half our team can recite those by heart, with heart. If we're struggling with something, you know, one of our values is operating in a responsible manner above the line. And it's not just like what the contract says you got to do, but it's the spirit and intent of what we all agreed to. Sometimes we'll be in a meeting and we'll say, you know what, we could operate in a responsible manner. This is what we intended, and we need to make this good. And that's what I love most about us. And that's why when I say, when you're looking for a company, if you're looking to be a franchise in a company, find out what they believe in, because that will help you more in finding the right match than anything else would.
Great information, Mary. We really, really appreciate the time and continued success. And I look forward to meeting you one day down the line.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate the great conversation.
Likewise. Take care.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information on all of our guests, go to brand50.com, where you'll find show notes and other resources to help guide you through the next exciting phase of your life. Please consider subscribing to our podcast on iTunes, along with other platforms, and write us a review while you're there. You can also sign up for our email list on our site to get the latest podcast updates. We promise you won't get a constant barrage of emails from us, and you can bet we'll protect your privacy as well. You can also follow us on social media accounts listed on our site. Thank you for listening.